Hello again. This is Pastor Robert, welcoming you to another edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. Wherever this broadcast is finding you today, whether it's in North Florida, coming to you from WMAF in North Florida, or whether it's coming streaming from WMAF to computer somewhere here in America or in another country, we welcome you today to this broadcast. We're glad that you have tuned in. If you are a first-time listener, we welcome you especially today. We pray you'll stay tuned and hear something encouraging and life-changing from the Word of God. And if you are a return listener, we welcome you back to this program. We're glad that you have made us a part of your devotional life. We earnestly pray that this broadcast will reach people for the Lord in terms of touching lives and changing lives. This is not just part of an entertainment package. It's not a commercial for our church. This is something strictly on the air to further the kingdom of our God. And if you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, His kingdom will come in your heart. Hallelujah. And the Bible said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, it is peace, and it is joy in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, and you think it's going to put you in some kind of religious box where you are restricted from having any fun in life, I know it may seem that way. Some Christians may seem like all the joy has been squeezed out of them. But I'll tell you, true Christianity and the authentic Christian life is a life of power and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. As Peter put it this way, whom having not seen, ye love with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Now, that's not putting someone in a box. That's because we have been set free to serve the God who created us and sent His Son to save us. Praise God. We welcome you today. If you would like to learn more about this ministry, would like to visit our website, just type in on your search engine THCOG on computer. THCOG, that stands for the Holy Church of God. We're affiliate of Independent Assemblies of God out of San Diego, California. They were an offshoot of the Azusa Street Revival. They wanted to have a fellowship of independent ministries and have a covering and accountability. And we've been under that covering since 1974. Praise God. And we've enjoyed fellowship with this international fellowship. So we come to you as an independent ministry that is accountable and respectable. I'm happy to be part of this great worldwide fellowship. But more importantly, I'm happy to be part of the family of God that crosses denominational barriers and makes us one at the foot of the cross. Praise God. So we just welcome you, our brothers and sisters in Christ, to this broadcast today as well. Pray that your life will be touched and enriched by what you hear today. In light of last week's events, while our nation still is reeling from the impact of the terrible tragedy at Virginia Tech, I want to bring you a message today about the God of peace being with us, finding courage and consolation in troubled times. If we ever needed courage and consolation, it's in the times that we are living. Not just because of this event. If this were an isolated event that just happened at Virginia Tech, then it would just be something that we would look at as an aberration, and we would go on in wonderful and peaceful times without many troubles. But the problem is, this is just another event, and we know in our hearts that as we continue in time, that these events are going to continue to happen. we have a history of them, and they seem to be getting worse. This is the worst tragedy on a school campus like this in history of our nation. And we thought at certain times it couldn't get worse, but it did. So I want to bring you a message of hope today from God's Word. There is a God who cares about our trouble. He cares about our nation. He cares about deeply about our world and the condition of it. And He's the only one that offers us peace, even in the time of trouble. So I want to talk to you today about the God of peace who is with us. If you're a Christian, the God of peace that can be with you if you choose to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture to begin this this Bible study today out of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. It says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Praise the Lord. Of the many descriptive phrases in the Bible to identify God, one of the most arresting and appealing is the title, the God of peace. Though God is addressed as the God of Israel, the God of heaven, the God of hosts, the God of patience, the God of all grace, the most meaningful for this troubled world in which we live is the one given to us by St. Paul in our text, the God of peace. What a beautiful description of God. The God of peace. The Bible speaks of Jesus in the Old Testament as the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace. Praise the Lord. The Amplified said, "And the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being, will be with you." And that's exactly what we need to hear today, that God can give peace to people living in a troubled time. And people that even without these terrible events nationally are going through personal crisis. Some of you may have experienced a recent divorce or the loss of a loved one, the loss even of a child. Someone out listening to this broadcast may have been diagnosed with some kind of devastating disease, and the prognosis is very, very grim. Someone out there may be seemingly hopelessly addicted to drugs or alcohol, and it is destroying your family and destroying your body, destroying your life. I want to bring you a message today of hope that there is a God who can bring peace to your troubled soul, and you just won't need that drug or that drink anymore. There is a reason that people do what they do, and they don't start out doing any of these terrible things to themselves, to destroy themselves, but to find something that they are looking for. Something to numb them to the hurt, or numb them to the discouragement, numb them to the pain that the human heart can endure in a world that is so troubled, in a life that can become equally troubled. The Scripture teach clearly that the last days would be marked by fear and anxiety. One particular Scripture is in Luke 21 and verse 26. Jesus said, speaking of the signs of His coming, that men's hearts would fail them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth. I believe there's a twofold meaning here. And number one, I believe it's descriptive of the hopelessness and helpless condition of those who are facing the actual great tribulation that would come. It's also descriptive, I believe, of the time just preceding it, the time called the beginning of sorrows in Matthew 24, 8. I believe that the true church will be distinguished from the false by a sustaining peace in unprecedented and unpeaceful, fearful times. Even when God's judgments are in the land, there will be a peace that floods the heart of the true Christian and the true church. I believe it will distinguish us from the world about us. David found that peace by a trusting relationship with the Lord. He said, "My times are in your hands." And he said on another occasion, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in you." And trusting God when fear comes, if you're in a relationship with Him, that you can put your trust in Him. When fear comes, you can rely on God for your future. Put your times in His hands. And the result of that kind of trust and commitment, peace floods the soul. The Bible said in the New Testament, in all things, in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And with thanksgiving and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart, keep your mind through Jesus Christ. We may quote that again, but I just brought it from the back of the study to the front of it today. That word keep means to literally build a fortress around your mind. It's a word that could be used to that word for a keep, a bulwark, a fortress. It means something that even though fearful conditions exist around us, fear cannot find its way into your heart in a debilitating way to just destroy all of the joy of life and living and put you into a deep cave of depression and discouragement. God has a message of hope for His people, and not only His people, but for all people, because He calls everyone to come to know Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, so that whatever happens in our life, we can say with David, now that we belong to the Lord, that our times are in His hands, not in the hands of happenstance, not in the hands of fate or circumstance, but in the hands of God Himself. It is so good to know today that even though I don't know what tomorrow brings, I do know who brings tomorrow. And David said of the God who is the creator of the heavens and the earth and of us, this is the day that the Lord has made. That means the sovereign God that David served and trusted made this day and is in control of my life. Hallelujah. And he said, I will rejoice and be glad in it and in Him. Praise the Lord. Only putting your whole trust in God can bring this peace in spite of the circumstances. Let me read you a scripture from Isaiah 33, verses and 13 through 17. Isaiah 33, verses 13 through 17. It says, hear ye that are afar off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Verse 15 answers that question. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, he that shaketh his hands from the holding of bribes and stoppeth his ear from the hearing of blood and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. And look at verse 17. Thine eyes, these people he's talking about, thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. According to Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown's commentary, there's prophetic significance to verse 17. Pointing to a time beyond Hezekiah's time, to the time of the church in the last days. And the reasoning for that is this word, term rather, very far off, or rather in the land in its remotest extent, no longer pent up as Hezekiah was in the siege. For Jerusalem is made the scene of the king's glory and could not be said to be very far off, unless the far off land be heaven, the Jerusalem above, which is to follow the earthly reign of the Messiah at literal Jerusalem. The same people who have God's peace in the time of great trouble are the people who will see the King in His beauty, and they will see the city of God, the New Jerusalem. I'll tell you something today. There is a separation that is going to be so marked in these last days, because the last days, the Bible said, would be marked by perilous times. The word means dangerous or outrageous. And the Beatles had a lyric to a song that said, "I just read the news today, oh boy." And I'm telling you, when you pick up the newspaper, you turn on CNN, MSNBC, the news, when you think it is so outrageous, it can't possibly get worse, some event comes along to remind us that we are literally living in perilous times. It's dangerous. We have mothers saying, "How can I send my child to school? There's security there. There's teachers. There's principals. There's security guards. There are in some schools there are actual officers of the law on campus. And yet these events continue to happen in spite of our security systems. Why is it that we can't seem to find any season of lasting peace in our nation? I'm going to tell you something. If we need anything today, I believe we need a return to God in America. We need a revival in America. We need, you know, we've made schools literally a God-free zone. We do not want religion to be mentioned on our campuses. It's an incredible thing to me. I live in Tampa, Florida, and this broadcast originates in Tampa, and I cannot go to the University of South Florida campus and pass out Bibles. But you know where I could go and pass out Bibles? I could go to the University of Moscow at Red Square and pass out Bibles to teachers and to students. Why is that? That God has opened such a window of our opportunity of evangelism in Russia, and yet we can't do it here in America. You know, I used to minister in the jail system here in Tampa. We had an assistant warden that attended our church for years, many years ago, and I ministered in the jail system. And I could go there and give out Bibles all day long, and I did. Every time that I went, I offered the Word of God, not only verbally by bringing a message, but by giving Bibles away to those that were behind bars. I can do that there. And what this nation needs. You know, we've made so many places. The public square, we don't want a manger scene. We've made that a God-free zone. And what happens when a nation begins to push God out of its justice system? We don't want the Ten Commandments sitting in any of our courtroom areas or on the wall. We don't want there's a movement to take one nation under God, in God we trust, off of our coinage. And this was those who were the founding fathers of our nation trusted God, and they wanted to make sure that as this nation grew in its wealth because of the riches of this wonderful land, that as it industrialized and grew, that it would, a clear message would be on every piece of money printed or stamped out, and that is that God, not our wealth, not our riches, but our God is the one that we would keep our trust in. It's amazing. You can't teach American history without talking about the faith that so many of those founders had in God and not in our own ingenuity, our own riches, and our own ability. This nation was a nation under God when it was founded, and it needs again to be a nation under God. We used to sing in our morning service years ago, if we ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need Him now. One of our soloists used to sing, "Jesus, take a hold and lead us through." The world has never been in the awful shape it's in. Jesus, take a hold and lead us through. We need the God of peace to be with us. Of all that God is, He offers to us, people who live in a troubled time, people who face great troubles in our life, He wants to come to you and me today as the God of peace, praise the Lord, so that we might know the peace of God even in troubled times. Amen. The Christmas message brought dispersed by the angels is not a seasonal message. Seem like we only talk about the Christmas stuff at Christmas time. This is not just Christmas stuff. This is Christian stuff. And I want to read from Luke 2, verse 8 through 14. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, and goodwill toward men. Praise the Lord. This peace on earth was peace, not in our world. We've seen that that peace hasn't come until He literally comes back to the earth. But it was peace to the people, to the nations that would receive Christ. Peace in the heart, regardless of the condition of the world around us. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Are your sins forgiven? God sent His Son so we could be reconciled to Him. And when you're reconciled to God, amen, then that peace that the angels were proclaiming will come to you. The peace of God begins with peace with God. Romans 5 and verse 1 says, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, Jesus bridged the awful gap of a holy God and fallen man. On the cross, He bore our sins. He took our judgment so that we could be forgiven. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 through 16 says that at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Praise the Lord. We have been brought into the great covenant that brings peace. Hallelujah. From the great God of peace that was exclusively in covenant with the people of Israel. But the Bible said that has changed now. The partition that separated us, those people of the covenant and people without the covenant, that partition is down. And we can come to God and have peace with Him and experience His peace in our heart and our life. Verse 15 says, Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in Himself of one twain new man, so making peace, that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. I like what one translator paraphrases this. In those days you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from God's people, Israel, and you did not know the promises of God made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you belong to Christ Jesus. Though you were once far away from God, now you have been brought near to Him because of the blood of Christ. Verse 14 says, For Christ Himself has made peace between us Jews and you Gentiles by making us all one people. He's broken down the wall of hostility that used to separate us. By His death, He ended the whole system of Jewish law that excluded the Gentiles. His purpose was to make peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in Himself one new person from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of His death, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. Hallelujah. Christ was made one with Himself, made us one with Himself and one with the covenant people. We too can claim the blessing of God with us because the God of peace is with us. Hallelujah. Having God with us because we have peace with God is the master key to finding peace in troubled times. I'll tell you today, there's nothing like God's peace when it just fills the human heart. It's so good to lay down in childlike faith tonight that no matter what tomorrow brings, I have peace because I know God as my personal Savior through Jesus Christ, His Son. I can say like the little children's prayer, "Now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take." That's a simple little children's prayer, but it represents a peace in knowing God, that He is in control, that whether we live, whether we die, we belong to the Lord, and there's nothing between us and Him. And our whole destiny now, He holds in His hand. It is so wonderful to know that even though there's a time of trouble all around us, that we can experience His peace even in the time of trouble. There was an artist's conception of God's peace, of Christian peace, and it didn't show a tranquil world and a tranquil condition. It showed the troubled world and how God's peace works in the time of trouble. And it showed a wind-driven sea and a terrible black clouds with lightning and thunder and trees bending on the top of a rock cliff by the wind coming from that storm coming in from the sea. And it showed a little cleft in the rock, and in it was a small bird. And that bird was huddled in the cleft of that rock, and underneath was the in full security that the winds, no matter how great they become, may move the trees, may trouble the seas, but they will not move that rock that that little bird had taken refuge in. And underneath was the inscription, "Christian peace." Hallelujah. Amen. There was a man by the name of Augustus Toplady, and he was traveling from one place to another by foot, and a great storm came upon him. He found a rock, and in it a crevice that he could just squeeze himself into. And he squeezed himself into that crevice, hidden from the rain, hidden from the wind, and no matter how terrible the storm was without, he was completely secure in the cleft of the rock. And you know what he wrote if you know anything about Christian hymns. He wrote the great hymn, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." And I'm telling you today, Jesus Christ is the Rock of Ages. I wish I could tell you that somehow trouble will never come to you, that you will live in a vacuum in this fallen world and none of these things will touch you. But I cannot give you that promise because God doesn't give you that promise. But what God does promise you is His presence with you no matter what happens. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." That's what Paul was talking about. He said, "The God of peace be with you." See, the promise of that presence brings peace. That reconciling work of Jesus on the cross promises us the presence of God with us here and promises us that we can go to live with Him when we leave here and live with Him forever. What a promise from the Word of God for people living in such troubled times. The promise of peace, even in the midst of trouble. If you don't know Jesus today, I want to invite you right now, wherever you are, to open your heart to Him and say, "Lord Jesus, I need to be reconciled to God. I need to get rid of the guilt. I need to be able to live without fear anymore. Fear driving me to drink, to drugs. I open my heart to you. And Jesus, I receive you as my personal Savior right now." Would you just ask Him to come in? Would you let Jesus, the Prince of Peace, speak to the troubled waters of your soul? Take away the guilt of your sin. Tell Him you've sinned. Repent. Ask for forgiveness and invite Him in. He promised to come in. If you're a Christian today, troubled by the world you live in, troubled by the uncertainties of the future, would you settle it in your heart right now? This is the day. the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. My times are in your hand, not in the hands of happenstance, circumstance, or fate, but in the hands of God. Tonight you can say, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Even if I die before I wake, I know the Lord my soul will take. Till next week, this is Pastor Robert. We love you. Pray you'll come back with us and let's talk about Jesus.